You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Up in the attic where I slept when I was a little boy, I thought the lattice, the moonlight crept, bringing a tide of dreams that swept over the low, red, trundled bed, bathing the tangled, curly head, while moonbeams played at hide-and-seek with the dimples on the sun-browed cheek when I was a boy, a little boy. And oh, the dreams I dreamed when I was a boy, a little boy, for the grace that though the lattice streamed over the folded eyelid seemed to have a gift of prophecy and to bring me glimpses of times to be when manhood's cauldron seemed to call. Oh, that was the sweetest dream of all when I was a boy, a little boy. I like to sleep where I used to sleep when I was a boy, a little boy. For in the lattice the moon would peep, bringing her tides of dreams to sweep the crosses and grief of the years away from the heart that is weary and faint today. And those dreams should give me back again a peace I've never known since then when I was a boy, a little boy.
In the Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. Yeah, that's Real Paranormal Activity. The Real Paranormal Activity Network. Dude and dudettes out there in the nether realm. Boy, I almost killed myself when I sat down in this chair right here because what happened was I didn't know the seat went back this far. And I almost fell out of the seat right here in the studio. Let me introduce who I got in the studio right now. I have Mr. Hell Garbage. And I have his cohort. that's how I'll say it. That's Emmy Lou right over there. If you remember Emmy Lou and Hell Garbage, they did an episode a little while ago. But you're not the people that I'm actually interviewing. I'm going all the way out to New Mexico on this one, and it's with Travis Cost.
Hello.
Well, I didn't even get to say your name yet.
Sorry.
Travis Castellano.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, you just, as soon as I said as soon as you hear me start saying Travis, just go ahead and say hey real quick. But I didn't even get your name out. So Travis is one of the members of the Storytellers, and he is all the way out there, and he's a dreamer. And what I decided to do was I was going to go ahead and bring Travis here into the Sandman Lullaby, and we're going to talk a little bit about dreams. But I didn't know Hell Garbage and Emmy Lou would drop by real quick when I was panicking, because, you know, when I'm trying to get all this together at once, I'm trying to do this before another show. So it just gets very hectic. But what the heck? We're not talking about that. We're talking about dreams. Travis, tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from, man?
I'm from a town called Farmington, New Mexico. It's in the Four Corners area.
Right.
I'm a Navajo Native American. I'm part of the Navajo tribe. I'm 30 years old. I live in a checkerboard area, like outside Farmington, about 13 miles out. I was living alone for a while, but my father's came back and helped me build the house again up back from scratch. I'm a construction worker for right now. I do concrete, and from time to time I like to mingle with stories and poems, but I don't have anything on me right now. It's kind of, I'm prepared for the interview.
No, well, what I wanted to get with was because I want a I'm part Creek, so yeah. I want to get your input, you know, from another Native American standpoint on their view of dreams.
To be honest, our dreams, they talk to us too. They show us things that we have to figure out. I've had dreams to where I was attacked by two giant snakes, and I played it off as something just nonsense. And I guess a year after I had those dreams, I've had two people who come by to my house, and they would steal from me and lie from me. And I found that out on my own from family members, and I caught them in the act. So my dreams, I kind of play off after a while, but it comes to me like an equation.
Right.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared, but we have a saying out here called Navajo time, so like, if you're late, you say, oh, he's probably coming on Navajo time. Well, we'll be there in 15 minutes. No, we'll actually be there in 30 minutes, so that's like Navajo time. So it's just like the termination of the dream actually comes way, way, way later for me. That's how it is, and it just like pops up.
Well, the basic beliefs of your ancestors, what's the basic beliefs of your ancestors and their dreams?
I would need a little bit more of a description. I'm sorry, I'm not as educated as most people.
No. That's the beauty of dreams, though. Not everybody really has a deep understanding of them, and if somebody comes with you, say they know everything about dreams, in my opinion, I think they're full of shit.
Yeah. Well, I like to listen to dreams, people's other dreams and everything, because it's a story. It's something that, you know, original. Only that person had that dream, unless somehow, in some way, two people had the same dream at once. So, I grew up more on the Anglo side of my culture, so I'm still trying to get back to the Native American side. If I knew a little bit more, I would tell you about dreams and that because I guess of our culture.
Well, what about repetitive dreams? Have as many of your dreams repeated themselves?
I've seen a couple of same characters in my dreams that like were that caused me sleep paralysis.
Right, yeah. Talk to me about sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis to me is I'm in between the world. You know, I'm still in the dream world, but yeah, I'm still I can feel myself being kind of pulled back to the present world, and I'm stuck in the middle, and whatever's trying to keep me in the dream world trying to hold on to me like a giant hand holding over me like that.
Right.
And my eyes will be open, and I'll have rapid breathing. I'll try to talk, but I can't talk. I feel like I lost my breath, and I try to yell, but it comes out like a little squeak, and that's what makes it worse. Over the years, I found out how to reverse that, and it's always telling myself, just calm down and just breathe. And every time I breathe, I would get more oxygen to my lungs, which goes to my head, and I can wake up easier. And whatever that thing is that's holding me down, whether if it's an entity or somebody or doing magic or whatever, it releases me for that. And lets me know that I'm the only person who's in control of my own dreams and nobody else. And that's when I break out of that sleep paralysis. Lately, I've been doing a lot of it's been happening more to me lately, but I've been figuring out how to release myself from that, I guess. It's weird how I do it, but it's slowly starting telling myself who I am, where I come from, like basically telling myself my plan and everything, and it brings me back to reality world real quick. I don't know if you ever seen Inception, but kind of like a totem.
Right.
Mine's like a password. So
you have a password when you talk to your totem animal?
No, just, like whenever I get out from dream world to the real world, trying to distinguish which one's which, instead of getting pulled into one and then leaning towards another. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is that's the connection between the waking real world and the dreamlands.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have difficulty telling when you switch over back and forth?
Only one time I did, but the way I always figure it out is because I leave things in a certain area, like in a certain way, I put things down in a certain way to where I would notice. But if something comes in a different color or kind of like the Matrix, remember, it glitches.
Right.
Sometimes I'll feel that glitch, and my eyes will flash, and that's how I'll realize, okay, I'm still in a different world, and I'll just do some more breathing techniques. I always do breathing techniques, and take deep, long breaths and release them, and I usually come back to this realm that we're in now.
Well, let's talk about positive dreams. What positive dreams have you had that you could actually recall?
Positive dreams, I've got to think about that. It wasn't a positive dream, but it was an unusual dream that wasn't bad or anything. And I got abducted by an alien, and they took me into this spaceship. And all the people who died, I saw them in that spaceship. And this old lady came up to me and said that your time on Earth is no longer needed. We used you enough there, now we need your help. And I guess they were growing tons and tons of marijuana plants everywhere.
Oh, in the spaceship?
Yeah, in the spaceship.
That's where all the weed went to.
Yeah. And what that lady told me was that marijuana is the most rarest plant in the entire universe, and that all these different worlds out there are targeting the Earth, because that's the only place where marijuana grows, and that marijuana is so rare that it actually brings people or different aliens, different life beings back from the dead if you use it in ceremonial purposes out there. And like these malevolent, benevolent aliens are trying to fight over Earth, and here we are on our own Earth, not even knowing about it.
Well, I've always heard that cannabis was actually an alien plant. This is the only plant like this of its form that you could find here on the planet.
Wow. And see, that I've had that dream like that, and I was like, wow, that would be something to put into a story. And it told me that all these people here that you think are dead, they're not dead. Nobody really dies in this universe. They just get transformed into something else, or they go to a different world, and they're just replaced with somebody else from that world, and they come to this world. So, and that was a dream that I had like a year and a half ago back. So.
Have you ever seen anything in the New Mexico area that makes you wonder about aliens, besides your dreams?
There's this place, let's see, east of where I'm at, about 110 miles, called Dulce, New Mexico. And they have this rumor there that they have an underground alien space place over there where they study actual aliens, and they have evidence of aliens there. There was a story about this guy who actually told the public, and then a couple years later, he just, like, disappeared, and he was never heard of again. So that actually causes my interest a lot. Out here, I've seen multiple, like, UFOs, and I know they're UFOs because they would come real fast. Like, they would travel real fast, and they would stop, and they would stop in a moment and flash for a while, and then they would move away from me, and they wouldn't move like an airplane moves. They would move out and towards the space, and their lights would fade. I see those a lot. My father actually seen out in Acoma, New Mexico, which is south of me, a big UFO fly over him while he was smoking a cigarette in his truck. And him and a coworker were the only two that seen it. And he said that the spaceship was enormous. Like, he couldn't fathom the size of the spaceship.
Emmy Lou! Seriously, have you ever had these experiences like, okay, you're about to say you're an alien.
Oh, no, my secret was almost safe.
Yeah, I know your secret's like that. But between the waking world and the dream world, can you actually tell of the division between the two?
I think what I was saying is sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I've had a lot of issues where I haven't been able to tell at all a lot of times when I wake up or I don't wake up, or you come back from a sleep paralysis, or you're not really sure where you are or not. I had a really big experience a couple of years ago that kind of threw my life through a loop, where I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I have sleep paralysis pretty often. But pretty much every day I wasn't sure if I came out of it or not. I'd be really confused and question pretty much every aspect of my day, like looking for clues if I was there or not. And sometimes I still think about it. I still think if I just haven't woken up again from my really rough experience I've had. It's kind of, it still throws my life a little bit in confusion. So I think there's a very thin line to know if there really is a barrier or not.
Well, you use a lot of your dreams in your artwork. Travis, you use dreams in your artwork or in your stories that you tell?
Sometimes I use it in my stories. My dreams, like, I'll use them in my stories. the elements, like how the elements, I had a dream about these, like, four elements coming to us in physical aspect forms, and they looked like robots, and so I made a small short story like that back in high school, and nobody knew about it, and it was an original thing. People thought it was, like, a cop-off of, like, Gundam Wing or something like that.
Okay, we talked about positive dreams. Now, can you recall one of your negative dreams?
Oh, yes. there's one that I actually tell a lot of people, and it's actually one of those dreams within a dream kind of scenarios.
Right.
And I just went to my cousin's house, or my friend's house, at the time I was living with my grandmother. Not where I'm at now, but I was living with my grandmother. And I asked to stay at his house, and I stayed at his house. And all I remember was playing video games, and the dogs started barking outside. My brothers pulled up, and they told me, let's go, we just have to go. And I said, what's going on? What's wrong? And nothing, just go, let's go. So I jumped in the back of the truck that we were in. It was a blue Nissan. And we drove all the way from my friend's house back to the house that I'm at now. And it takes a long, it goes through like a bunch of fields, like a corn fields, wheat fields. And it goes past the cattle farm, and it goes down this long stretch and into like a little valley where there's a wash. And it goes uphill. As we're going up the hill, I was looking back, and I saw something running really fast at towards us. My younger brother, my older brother in front, and my older cousin was sitting next to me. That thing jumped on the truck, and I asked him, hey, do you guys see that? Do you guys see that? They all looked back. Nobody could see it. I was the only one who saw it, and it jumped back. And you could feel the weight as it jumped on the back of the truck. And it tried hiding, and it had its fingernails, and they were really long, about like 10 inches, just over the tailgate. And I said, I can see you. You might as well show yourself. I can see you. And that thing looked at me, and it got up, hind legs were like 10 feet tall. It got up its hind legs, and it had like the body of a werewolf. But the head, it had a very violent head, like a horse with red eyes and really sharp teeth, like a horse. And that's when it came down and started choking. And looked at all my brothers and said, hey, don't you guys see this? And they just looked at me and said, no, what are you doing? And that's when I woke up. And I woke up at my friend's house, and he woke me up and said, hey, you're screaming. Are you okay? You're screaming. And I said, hey, I feel weird. Let's go into the living room. So we go into the living room. What's wrong? And I told him about the dream. And the dog started barking again. I said, it's still here. It's still here. It's outside. And he went outside. He went to the window, and he opened it. And as soon as he opened it, he looked at that creature, whatever it was pointing at me. Kept pointing at me, and after that I got scared, and I felt that sleep paralysis come up on me again. And then out of the television, this like laser light came out of the television and started creating Superman. And that's when he told me, it's all right, Travis, I'll protect you, I got you, I'll take care of this guy, I'll chase him away. You know who I am, right? I'm the Man of Steel, you know, I'm the last son of Krypton, I'll bust him up for you. And that's when I realized, like, hey, I'm still in a dream.
Wow.
And that's when I woke up again. I looked around. I looked at my friend. He was still asleep. I looked at the time. It was 2:59. I got up and I got a drink of water and I sat back down. And I laid a different way. I didn't lay the same way I was laying. What I was taught was if you have a dream like that, lay somewhere else. Lay a different way so it gives whatever it is that's trying to mess with your head. Get time to try and find you again. So if you like lay a different direction, it won't bother you again for the rest of the night, whatever it is. So that's what I did, and I just went back to sleep. And so I always remember, and I was 18 years old when that happened.
Did you tell your friend about the dream?
Yeah, I told him.
Did he say he was Superman?
No, he just said that I'm just a little red kid out here. I couldn't do anything. But I could have got my Bible and prayed to Jesus. And I said, no, I'm okay. I'll be all right, I told him. I told my grandfather, and we did something about it our own different way. He told me, dreams like that tell you something, you know, and trying to tell you that you need to be careful who you hang out with and why you hang out with them. And try not to hang out with too many people that you don't really know. So my grandfather used to tell me things like that because he was much older and knew more about how that whole world and aspect of life, you know, worked.
Was he raised out there?
Yeah, he was raised out here. He was raised out here, and he worked in Oregon for a while, and he did some of the railroads out there. And my grandmother took care of his, my father and his brothers out here, and they grew up in a tent. But we're lucky and fortunate we grew up in a house that he built ever since he had his own son.
So what other wisdom did he pass on to you?
What was that?
I said, what other wisdom did he pass on to you?
He always told me to love my family no matter whatever they did to you, no matter how much they hurt you, make you cry, or how bad they ever get. Because that's who we are. There's nobody else that's going to bleed the same, heritage blood that you have. And look how long it took for all of us to get this way. Look how long it took me to do this for you. Now it's your turn to do what I did for the rest of your family so our family can continue on this earth. So never get mad, never get jealous, never steal. Just basically the same thing that they say in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, but it was what he experienced through his own life. He never experienced the Bible. He never went that way. He was traditional the whole way. And so he taught me a little bit of things, he taught my father, and then my father taught me. And so it's just going from there, just how to protect myself from little dark energy here and there. And it comes from everywhere. He would tell me, and it comes from everywhere, just not Native American. It also comes from people way out here. It comes from people way out here. It comes from people all the way across the world. He would tell me things like that.
Travis, I got one question that I normally ask people when we're reaching the end of the episode. It's living or dead, who would you like to meet in your dreams?
I would like to see who would be good. I would like to meet the very first people who created the Navajo Code Talkers, like the original Code Talkers. I would like to have met all of them and see how their experience was from coming up with the code and taking it across to help out with World War II. I think that would be really awesome to meet that set of people.
Cool. That's actually very cool. I'm going to sit back for a second. This is when I give you an opportunity to basically talk to the people out there. We have a very large listening audience out in the RPA network, and I'm going to let you have the closing remarks before we disappear and go into the realms of the Sandman Lullaby. So, Travis, I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to just let you give your words of wisdom and let the world know what you think and what you hope. Go.
Well, all I can tell you guys, everyone, is, if you have a God, love him. If you don't have a God, but you believe in a creator, love him. If you don't believe in a God or a creator, remember your life and love that with all your heart. And that's about it.
Dude. Travis, I appreciate you giving me a call and giving me a chance to talk to you.
No problem, Matt. And I do apologize for almost missing the show.
No, you're not always missing the show. I get nervous when I set up an interview and then 30 minutes go by and I can't get a hold of the person. It just starts freaking me out. let me get out this information real quick. Don't forget, on Monday you have you have the Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. That's with your host, Aaron Hunter. Yeah, he's the man of the hour, the man with the power. The man's too sweet to be sour. And he basically reads your stories and lets you know what's going on in the world of the paranormal. And don't forget, on Tuesday, you have Aaron's Horror Show. That's with Aaron Frail. He basically checks out horror movies, horror stories, anything that deals with horror. So you don't have to deal with it because, really, I always say it, a lot of the stuff out there really sucks. And on Wednesday, you have Terry's Mysterious Moments with Terry from Texas. Lou, you got anything to say before we basically set the world free?
I enjoyed listening. I really did. I think that was a very Interesting dream he shared. I'm very interested in that creature. If he wrote a story about it, I want to read it.
Dude, they're giving you a hint there, Travis.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to do that, but I'm a good procrastinator.
So. Yeah, I like that. I've dreamed with strange, like, creatures, too, so I'm interested in that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I would love to read them.
Hell Garbage, anything to say before we set the world free?
Keep on dreaming and rocking in the free world.
Rocking the free world. Rock. My God, we're going back in time on this one. Travis, don't go nowhere. I'm going to log off real quick. I'm going to talk to you on the other side. And let me see. I got anything to add? No, I don't think I got anything to add. So, oh yeah, I do got to add this real quick. Don't forget, if you want to write me, that you could write me directly. If you want to be on the Sandman Lullaby, if you want to be on the Sandman Lullaby, that's sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell it because I'm spitting all over the microphone right now. So, Travis, hold on. Emmy Lou, I'll see you in a second. Hell Garbage, I'll see you in a second. And you other people out there in Sandman Lullaby area, I'll see you next time. Thank you for being on the Sandman Lullaby.